People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and issues related to health and wellness.
He was the best father a daughter could have. Even with this hard situation, I think that he was a fighter.
A person is much more than his or her disease.
This is People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. You just heard Constanza, Beatriz, and Patricia Moran. They were speaking about their father, who died last year. He was an industrial engineer. Constanza says he made a tasty potato cake. He also developed schizophrenia when the three sisters were children. Today on the show, they'll share their story. Constanza has a PhD in biomedicine and works at a lab that researches schizophrenia in Barcelona. That's where I reached her and her sisters.
My name is Patricia Moren, but you can say Patricia if it is easier for you. And I am the eldest of the three sisters. I am a journalist focused on health, but lately I'm more interested in mental health. It is due to my father's disease. I have the honor to be the daughter of a person who had schizophrenia.
I'm Constanza Moren, and I'm a doctor in biomedicine, and I am working in a research group as a coordinator of a laboratory in schizophrenia research. And I am the younger sister of Patricia, so I also had the honor of being the daughter of my dad, who suffered from paranoid schizophrenia.
My name is Beatriz Moren. I am the second of the three sisters, the three daughters of my father. I am veterinarian and I am working in a cats and dogs clinic.
Well, thank you all very much. I'm so glad we could all get together. We're going to chat today about family, about schizophrenia. Maybe the place to start, what are the first things you'd like people to know about your father?
Yeah, I would say that my father was a wonderful and incredible father, but he had the bad luck to develop this disease, this disorder, this terrible disorder that is schizophrenia. He was my first love, I could say, was my father, and it was terrible when he started to have this disease. I remember him in my childhood when we went to the beach playing with me. He was a normal father until then. I always like to say that my father didn't choose this disease. The disease chose my father. So it's very important to have in mind that no one wants to have this terrible disease.
I agree with my sister. My father, when I was a child, he was a fantastic father. I remember him. He was so protector and he enjoyed playing with us. But when I was 9 years and he fell ill, it was so much more complicated during the long period that he refused to be treated for the schizophrenia. But even with this hard situation, I think that he was a fighter because he could have something very, very difficult with this disease. He could keep with his daughters, his brother, sisters. He had a good job during all his life. He had autonomy. He had a house. So I think that he was very clever and he was a fighter person, because there are many people with schizophrenia that they lost jobs, their job, their families, and sometimes even they don't have a house, and they at the end they are living on the street in grave cases.
In my case, I must say that I also feel that he was the best father a daughter could have. And I'd like to say my father worked as an industrial engineer in the civil service in Spain and made a very good and tasty potato cake. I always remember that. And I also remember that he held my hand every day as he walked me to school, taught me and my two sisters to ride bicycles and also to drive a car in our hometown of Tarragona. And my father who died in 2023 at the age of 79, also lived with paranoid schizophrenia, but this was one facet of his person. And despite the difficulties, the complexities, and the troubles that sometimes we went through as daughters, due to his disease, of course, I would choose him again. And I think that my sisters also agree on that.
Of course.
Yes.
As part of this program, I will make sure to include maybe the sort of official clinical information about what schizophrenia is to remind people. But would you be able to share in your experience what you would want people to know about the condition?
Schizophrenia is a very, very complex heterogeneous disorder, mental disorder. So it affects the behavior of the person that is affected, and it presents three types of symptoms. The positive symptoms, which are the hallucinations and the psychiatric conditions in that sense. The negative symptoms, which are the apathy, the social withdrawal, the isolation, the depression, and also the cognitive symptoms. So in the end, they have a lower memory sometimes, or they feel that they don't could execute certain tasks properly. So almost all the patients, or at least it's very frequent, that they don't really know about their disease. They are not conscious of their disorder. So they are not really aware that they are having this condition. So this means that probably the patients are not seeking for help, because this is called agnosognosia. So they are not aware of their illness. And this makes difficult to help them sometimes. In the end, we are also here to reivindicate that schizophrenia is a legitimate pathology, is a legitimate disorder, because sometimes society is not really prepared and not always embrace this disorder as we do with another kind of illnesses.
Could you tell me how schizophrenia, what it was like in your sort of day-to-day lives? How did it manifest itself?
As the eldest of the sisters, I remember clearly the moment. I was 13 when my father was admitted to a psychiatric hospital. It was the first time that the disorder appeared, and it was very sad for me because my superman, my super father, disappeared. And instead of my super father, then I had a new father, a sick father, what society says, a crazy man, a mad person. You know, this is very difficult for a child of 13 years old. It was very difficult, very hard for me to deal with this new situation. I remembered also that when I went back to school, because we were some days out of the school due to this difficult situation in my family. And when I went back, a girl asked me, "Why was your father at the hospital? Why didn't you come to the school?" It was terrible, a shock for me, this question. I said, "I rather say nothing. I rather say nothing." And it was the first time I felt the stigma, the auto-stigma, because society is not prepared, as my sister says, for this kind of disorders. And this is very difficult for a child to deal with this kind of feelings. You have one father, and the day after you have another father.
Yes, in my case, I was only 9 years old, so when my father got ill. So I don't have this, I cannot remember clearly, but I can remember that my mother, at the end, she got divorced from him. And it was, we need to spend some days with him, with my father, and he was, when he wasn't in treatment. And it was very hard for me, because sometimes he did dangerous things, for example, driving the car or shouting to other people on the street. it was very hard. In my life, I always hide. I always was hiding what my father was. I was ashamed. And this marks a child. But well, later it got different. The fear disappeared. I wasn't scared of him. But the relationship, it was difficult when he wasn't in treatment.
And in my case, my father was always ill. For me, the disease was always there. So all my memories are this way. And for me, it was normal to walk next to a father who sometimes shouted at people or covered one ear to avoid hearing other people's conversations. But I realized that for the other people, this did not seem normal. And sometimes I was scared, or other times I felt embarrassed. But at the end of the time, on my 30s, my 40s, I have really changed those feelings for the feeling of pride of walking next to my father. So now I'm in peace and I am proud of my father, maybe.
And I understand that he has also influenced maybe your career path and what you're doing professionally. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, well, in my case, I am a journalist. I am, as I said before, specialized in health. I didn't choose this path, but life gave it to me. And now that he died, I'm really interested to work again, mainly in mental topics. This is one thing. Another thing is that during my career, when I had to do an interview to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I was really listening what they were telling me, because I wanted really to write very good news to explain people the topic that we were talking about. I really tried to write my news with love, choosing each word carefully. And this is very difficult to do if you are not next to the disease, next to the people who has this disease. This was one thing. Another thing that is very important for me is that mostly in the newspapers, TV, radio programs, whatever, when journalists talk about schizophrenia, well, they don't talk. That's one point. They talk about another kind of disease like depression, suicide, which is the last thing that we have to talk about. Suicide is the consequence of schizophrenia and other mental disorders. But before suicide, we have to talk about other diseases. Quite often, they talk about depression, eating disorders, bullying, burnout, but schizophrenia is not there. So we have to put the schizophrenia in the media. That's another thing. And we have to talk in a positive way about it, not only in a bad way. For example, it is not necessary to say when in the news they are talking about a killer and he had a psychiatric history. Why? Is this useful? No. It increases the stigma of the person and the people around the person. I think that it's uncomfortable to talk about schizophrenia. It's a very long word to put in the headlines, but we have to find a way. So these are my thinkings about this. I want to talk of schizophrenia because schizophrenia is not in the media.
In my case, I never felt that my father's condition my career, my professional career, but I realized it did when in 2020 I saw this offer and they were seeking for a coordinator in a lab, in a research lab that they were actually investigating monographically schizophrenia. And then this offer came to me like I needed to get on that train. So it was like the path was really for me, was designed for me, and I was clear that I needed to change my research group, and I came directly to see what will happen here, and I'm really happy here. I feel I can help increasing this the research in this disease that is really kind of abandoned when talking about investment. And I can help in this for my father, for my family, but for so many other families who suffer. And now that my father is no longer physically here, I see that we can, the three of us, we can dedicate all the efforts, all the energy that we used to dedicate him to care him. Now we can dedicate that energy to other people who maybe they are suffering alone or in silence as we did, because we didn't have extra time or extra energy to deal with other things that was not really my father. But now we have, and we can maybe accompany those people that are like we were before, now that we are okay, at least in terms of taking care of my dad.
Yes, well, in my case, I am veterinarian, and so I have not seen a direct influence of my father's condition in my work. But now, these days, we are enjoying a lot with, for example, your interview to help maybe and probably another people to speak about this.
You're listening to People First Radio. Patricia, Constanza, and Beatriz Moren are three sisters who live in Spain. When they were children, their father developed schizophrenia. They're sharing their story on today's program. We'll get back to our conversation in a moment. First, here's some information from HealthLink BC. Schizophrenia is an illness that can affect your ability to think clearly, manage your emotions, and interact with others. It affects each person differently. The way other people react to schizophrenia can make a difference in how schizophrenia affects you. It can make it easier or harder for you to cope with the illness. Most people who have schizophrenia hear and sometimes see things that aren't there, often believe some things that aren't true, and may think that some people are trying to harm them. We'll share more info on the condition throughout today's program. For now, back to my conversation with the Moren sisters. So we heard a little bit about science, a little bit about journalism. I think those are two professions particularly where there can be this idea of sort of neutral objectivity. And in actual fact, that can be a hard thing to do, or that even in an objective discipline like science, you know, you still need to be forming hypotheses to test in the first place. So what are the things that could be missed if people doing work in journalism or in science, and not necessarily firsthand themselves, but if they aren't somehow informed by firsthand experience of schizophrenia, what are the things that could be missed?
Yes, as I said before, one of the things is to speak carefully about the topic, because schizophrenia is a disorder that affects people. So we are talking about people that is really suffering a lot, and we have to talk carefully about this. So, for example, it's very important to choose the right words, and we mustn't say schizophrenic. We have to say a person with a schizophrenia. This is one point. Another point is that there is a huge lack of information. So we have, as a journalist, we have to search for news different. We don't have to search always for the same type of news, negative news talking about this disorder. I never see news talking about positive things that people with schizophrenia do. For example, my father was very intelligent, and he invented a game and he patented it. So they are very intelligent, really. And we are not listening to these people. The disease, they can't speak, they can appear normally in the media because of their disease, because they prefer not to be exposed in the society. Normally, they don't want. But families or journalists, we can do that for them. And the last thing is that the news that talk about they are very superficial and very short normally. We should do more interviews, long interviews, like for example, the one we are doing now. We are really very grateful for that moment, for this space that you have given us to talk about this. I think that now, in this moment, we four are doing, are helping a lot to people that listen to your radio program, so your space. This is a very nice opportunity, and we are really very grateful. So this kind of interviews and maybe a bigger, longer articles. I think there is a lack of this kind of issues in the journalism.
Yes, in science, I guess that for complex problems, complex solutions are needed. So an effective cure for schizophrenia will probably not be found until we work in a multidisciplinary manner. So this involves psychiatrists, genetists, cardiologists, hematologists. We know that the people are treated with they present secondary effects due to the medication because the antipsychotics presents quite a lot of secondary adverse events associated. So many different specialists should be there. Also psychologists, pharmacologists, nurses, social workers, et cetera, et cetera. But also, it's important to place the focus also on patients and their families because they don't normally have a voice. And this is what we are appealing also, my sisters and I, today, to reivindicate the voice of the families and the patients, because this could also be a first step to be able to, for example, correlate behavioral, clinical, and molecular findings from them. And also, by working collaboratively with patients and caregivers may allow to design treatment plans according to their needs. For example, there's an initiative here at the University of Barcelona from researcher and nurse Antonio Moreno Poyato and his group, because they provide a private space for the patient. They call it like the private therapy space. And then in this research space, they designed this intimate room and the time with the patient to establish bonds of trust between nurses and patients. So this enables the two parties to collectively agree on objectives and interventions. And this is very important to put also the focus and the voice to the patients and the families. And in summary, patients and families' experiences and perspectives could offer important insights into priorities for research and treatment and med needs in general. They are normally not at the focus of the investigations, it's important to take them into consideration as well.
My sister has speak about a very important theme, because I remember that I saw a lot of problems in the when my father was very ill at the end, the last days, with the health care system, because he had, when he got older, he began to have different grave diseases like hypertension, bigger heart, renal problems, grave prostatic problem, a horrible urinary incontinence. And but because of his condition, he refused. He wasn't comfortable with doctors or with treatments, with, for example, X-ray, abdominal ultrasound, blood test, all that things. It was horrible for him. So we need this special management with these patients. Because I remember when he was in the hospital, I remember a lot of nurses coming and going and doing things, putting injections, giving pills, and he was so stressed. It was very stressful for him. So I think that, like my sister Constanza was explaining, it's very important to have these special and adapted spaces for these patients, like for example, in other type of conditions or like autism or like another disease. So in schizophrenic patients, it's very important to know what they need. And then it's important to speak maybe with the families.
I was listening to a previous interview you did, and Constanza, I think it was you who mentioned that schizophrenia is the Cinderella of mental health diseases. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Yes, I meant that schizophrenia research is chronically underfunded. So while pharmacological therapy progresses or advances in other illnesses, it's surprising to see stagnation in the case of schizophrenia. So scientists still know very little about this complex disease. We don't really know the origin, what we call the etiopathogenesis of the disease. It is not really unknown. Also, we don't have biomarkers, and the therapies are not effective. They are effective for the positive symptoms, but not for the negative or the cognitive symptoms, which are the prodromal symptoms. So these are the relevant. We have medication to not make the patients to disturb society, to slow down the positive symptoms, but not the therapies are not effective for the disease. They don't cure the origin, or they don't halt the progression of the disease. And actually, this is a proof that research in schizophrenia is chronically underfunded. That's why this disorder is like the Cinderella. An example, the FDI designated two new drugs in psychiatry in the most recently reviewed period, compared with the 13 in neurology and 31 in oncology, which is fine, but none of those two new drugs in psychiatry really target schizophrenia. One is for postpartum depression, the other one is to treat opioid withdrawal syndrome. But this is a proof that a greater investment for governments is essential. And also, of course, education and public awareness efforts as well. But we should work as a team, as a society, because it's a pending subject still.
This is People First Radio. I'm speaking with Patricia Beatriz and Constanza Moran. I reached them in Barcelona. They're sharing some of their experiences having a family member with schizophrenia. Before we get back to our conversation, here's some info from HealthLink BC about the symptoms of schizophrenia. Symptoms can include negative symptoms, which are things that are lost from your personality or how you experience life. A person with schizophrenia may not care about things, have no interest or drive to do things, find it hard to say how they feel. There are also positive symptoms, which are things added or new to your personality or how you experience life. They include hallucinations, delusions, thoughts and speech that are confusing. There can also be cognitive symptoms, which have to do with how you think. They often aren't obvious to you or others. They can include memory loss, not being able to understand things well enough to make decisions, and having trouble talking clearly to others. Symptoms usually start when a person is a teen or a young adult, but they may start later in life. They may appear suddenly or may develop slowly. A person may not be aware of their symptoms. That info is courtesy of HealthLink BC. Now back to today's feature conversation. What do you think society could or should do to help people going through this or help their family members maybe feel less alone?
Yes. Well, we think it's very important to talk about the disease, as we said before, to speak clearly about it and to say the word, the entire word, schizophrenia. We don't, if we say, let's talk about physical health. What do you think about physical health? It is related to a very big amount of things. So it's not useful to talk about mental health. It's useful to talk about each disease. So we have to give it visibility, because otherwise families feel isolated. They feel that the problem that they have is very big and that no other people have the same problem. It is a way to be beside those people that are suffering in silence. We've been in silent a lot of years, more than 20, I think 30 years. But now is our moment to talk about this. We can help other people and we can help also ourselves. We didn't talk about it because we decided to respect the privacy of our father. And also because for these people, as I said before, to be exposed to the society is not possible. Now that he has unfortunately died, it's the time for us to talk about this. This is the main thing. To start is to talk about the disease. Also, as my sister said before, when a person is diagnosed of this disease, we have to give treatment to this person, but also we should give a psychological support to the family. I'm sure that we, as a children, as a daughters of our father, we have some difficulties in our life. I have some insecurities, something difficult for me. I don't know how to explain, but it's not easy. It's not easy. It has an impact. I can give you an example. Bruce Springsteen, the superstar, the boss, he talked some time ago that his father had the same disease that our father, paranoid schizophrenia. And he confessed, Bruce Springsteen said, that he has been taking medication for more than 30 years to keep his depression under control. So it means that anyone, even a rock star, even the boss that we like a lot, can have this terrible disease around him, you know. That's why it's very important to get out of the closet.
Yes.
And that's what we are doing now. The last thing I want to underline is the path, as my sister Constanza mentioned before, to go when you are ashamed, because at the beginning we, and I think a lot of years, we were ashamed. The path to go, to travel, to the pride is very long. But now we are proud of our father. That's what we want to underline. We are really proud of our father. That's it.
When I think, what can society do to help people and family members going through this, I think about the social support groups and education to others. So public awareness efforts in general terms. So this is, I think this is very important, extremely important. If we take into consideration that 90% of the people living in the streets, my sister before talked about these homeless people, they have a psychiatric condition, and 4% of the people living in streets, they present schizophrenia. So this means that we have a pending subject here as a society. So as a society, we are failing these people. And our duty, from the ones that we are okay, is to care for them and include them rather than exclude them, because they are double victims of their illness and of the social exclusion. And this is a pity. This is not well.
Yes, now that we have come out of the closet and we can speak all about my father's disease, or the schizophrenia, we think that it's important that people know that these patients suffer a lot, and their families do too. They suffer too. So only for that reason, they deserve that people understand that they only have a disease and they have not asked for that disease. So when it's important that people learn to empathize with these persons, because maybe I know that my father sometimes during all his life, he was in complicated situations, maybe at the supermarket, in the bank, in different situations, in the doctor, in the hairdresser. Maybe he had problems because he got angry, he shouts sometimes to people. But it's important to empathize, because it's a disease, so he has not chose. I think that if everyone helps and put his grain of sand, we can improve the life of the patient and we can improve the suffering of the family.
What do you think are the grains of sand that people could put down to help?
The empathy is basic. The love, because as we treat sometimes the psychiatric patients as if we are frightened of them, but we should just think that this is a disease and they didn't choose the disease. It's a condition that could also be your condition. I mean, we are okay now, but who knows if we maybe have an accident tonight and then tomorrow we just forget who we are and then we become a psychiatric patient. So this can happen and no one is really free from. I always say the ones that are good should take care of the ones that are not, because you never know when you are going to become ill and then you will need the other people to care of you, you know. Increase empathy and normalize this condition. It's a legitimate disease. We don't need to be ashamed of this disease. It's a natural condition. We should embrace this disease and the patient suffering from them.
Yes, it did. Just to add something, it's very important to not to judge people, okay? Because we can see someone on the street doing strange things with a strange behavior, but maybe, as my sister says, another day we can be this person. Why? Because 1 in 4 people will have a mental illness during their lifetime. So it means that one of us that we are here today can have a disease, a disorder, a different kind, we don't know, during the life. It's quite hard, but this is the news. It's more common to have a mental disorder than a breast cancer. But the newspapers are full of news talking about breast cancer. But it's not the same. It's not the same case for mental health. And it is even worse for schizophrenia.
I'm curious what this experience was like for you three as sisters, and maybe how did it impact your relationships with each other over the years?
Well, for us, it has been, we have been lucky to be three sisters because we have been able to support each other. And even with my father, we could take turns taking care of him in the last years because he had a lot of problems with very reduced mobility. And then we have learned to work as a team. And it was fantastic for us in hard times because, well, and at the end we have a stronger union.
Yes, it's true. I think that we have always got to act as a team, as my sister Beatriz said just now. And this brought us together a lot. And sometimes I think that if I had been alone in the world, like without sisters, I would probably have gone crazy. I would not have been able to bear the weight of many things that have happened to me in the past, and leaving them in silence or not being able to share them with my sisters would have been a nightmare. So we always say that the three of us make the synergy.
Yes, it's what my sister says. My father and my father's illness has brought us together. This is the point. Maybe at the beginning, there were some kind of conflicts because we are also mothers. We are also workers, professionals. So we have to combine this. We had to take care of my father and combine it with our jobs, families, everything, our own lives. It was a hard time, but it was a pleasure for us to take care of him. And our sadness is that we couldn't give him all the things that he should have. because of the difficulties to admit to these people to in the psychiatric setting. It's very difficult, really. I don't know in Canada, but here in Spain it is. And it was a pleasure for us. And I also want to thank you, my aunties. We were five caregivers. His sisters, our two aunties, helped us a lot to take care of my father. And I want also to thank you, my mother, the first one that had to deal with this situation when we were three little children. And it was quite surprising for her. And it was quite difficult, quite hard, and very sad, really. So I want to thank all my family and also my father.
So in the end, we were six women around my father. So.
You're listening to People First Radio. Patricia, Constanza, and Beatriz Moren are three sisters who live in Spain. When they were children, their father developed schizophrenia. They're sharing their story on today's program. We'll get back to our conversation in a moment. First, here's some information from the National Health Service in the United Kingdom. The exact causes of schizophrenia are unknown. Research suggests a combination of physical, genetic, psychological, and environmental factors can make a person more likely to develop the condition. Some people may be prone to schizophrenia, and a stressful or emotional life event might trigger a psychotic episode. However, it's not known why some people develop symptoms while others do not. Now back to today's feature conversation. We're having this conversation. You've had these experiences in Spain. I get the sense that pretty much everything you've talked about, there are a lot of people who have experienced similar things in Canada. It's estimated that 1% of people worldwide experience schizophrenia. So if we think about even just like all of the direct family members impacted by that, we're probably talking about hundreds of millions of people. But today you've talked about almost this stigma, the silence in society. What do you think we need to do to create that awareness? Or what is the impact of that gap or that stigma or that silence, even though this is something across the entire world impacting hundreds of millions of people?
It's incredible that still in this century, there's still a strong stigma around this disease, but it exists. So it's mandatory. It's an urgent need to fight again this stigma. So maybe we were living this in silence, but now we came out. And I think that we should, as a society, reivindicate the existence of this disease. We should visibilize, normalize this disease, talk about schizophrenia a lot until the people learns to embrace this disease, as we said before. So not only embrace the patients, embrace also the families and the people around them. And this is a legitimate condition, as we said before, as is legitimate to have cancer, and the empathy should go the same way. And people with psychosis exist, people with schizophrenia exist, and we cannot look to another direction. They are here and they deserve to be a human being with the rights that they deserve, as all of us. So let's start comprehend this and embrace this condition as we do with many others.
Yes, I agree. Actually it's a total stigma, this disease, because, for example, I remember when I was a child or I was young, we were living in a small city called Tarragona, where my father lived, all his family, and where he died. And we were walking on the street with him. And when he got angry, it was a very difficult situation. We were always hiding this condition. I remember I never spoke with any of my friends about this until a few years ago. So I think that it's not a it's very important to, we need to see that this is only a disease and it's not a shame. I mean that it's very important that it can be applied to many other types of patients. And if people understand this disease, they can be better.
If you haven't realized, for the people who listen to us, we are Spanish. Sorry. Sorry for our English.
Okay. It's difficult sometimes.
This is one point.
The neurons are Spanish.
And to my answer, and I think that my sister's answer to this question is absolutely. There is a stigma and there is a silence. It still be there is a lot of steam and silence. That's what we say. And what I would like to say is to fight against this. We have repeated many times that we need to talk about the schizophrenia to normalize it as much as possible. And we have to say that people with schizophrenia are not bad people. These are people who do something bad for the society. Sometimes there are bad news. It's because they are not getting the right medication. Why aren't they getting the right medication? They normally, as my sister said before, I think, decide not to take this medication because it has very bad side effects. So they don't want to take this medication. Afterwards, when they are lucky and they can be admitted to a psychiatric hospital, once they finish the time at the hospital, they don't have a good follow-up. So in that moment, they start to have again the problems of the disease. Around this, the family try to do as much as the family can. Family are not doctors, nurses, psychologists, psychiatrists. We do as much as we can. And the problem is that people around us says, but why don't you take care of your father? And we say, we are taking care of my father. But they don't believe us. We do what we can. So it's a complex disease and we need a lot of help. Not only for the person who is ill, but also for the people around this person. And this must be known for in the society, because normally the blame is for the family. And this is not the point.
Patricia, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, and it's an idea that someone in Nanaimo, where I live with a relative who had schizophrenia, once brought up in an interview. In the last maybe 10 years or so, I think it's fair to say there's been a real movement to destigmatize the idea of talking about mental health conditions. But the person I was speaking with felt like there was a bit of a disconnect between that movement and schizophrenia. You've mentioned today you think it's important we talk about schizophrenia to try and combat the stigma. What do you think it's important that we do to talk about it in the right way? Or are there any other thoughts you'd like to bring to that idea of talking about schizophrenia as a way of lessening the stigma?
Yes. Well, I think it's the things that we have said before. We have to say the word, first of all, not to be afraid to share this word. Schizophrenia. We have to say that many people is affected of this disease and around these people, the families, because it's not only this 1% of the worldwide population. I'm sorry for my accent. It's also all the relatives around this person. We have suffered. We've been suffering mentally. It's very important to stop this situation, because the next generation, if we have a father with this disease, the daughters will be affected. If the daughters are affected, then the sons and the daughters of these daughters will also be affected. So we have to stop this chain of mental suffering. This is very important. and all kinds of professionals, healthcare authorities, the governments have to do that. The families can't do that alone. Families maybe are emotional affected. They can't deal with all of this movement alone. They need help. That's what we are saying today. Not only the patient, but also their families. I think it's very important to tell this to the society. Maybe, I don't know if you want another idea, but these are my ideas. Maybe a think tank, I say, yeah, we have to do, not a brainstorming, no. A think tank of the cleverest people in the world thinking how to stop mental suffering. We are in the 21st century.
Yes.
The 21st century. So I don't understand why happened this in this century. A person is a body and his or her brain and his or her soul, that I think it's half in the brain, half in the heart, but I don't know. But it's very important to take care of our brain. Without our brain, we don't exist. If we have a disease, a physical disease, we can deal with things of our life. But my father had a disease in his brain. He was all the day hearing voices, hearing. It's quite hard to live with this, really. It's horrible during all his life, because medication, what does, Constanza, you can, if I'm wrong, you can say me, it's only to lower
yes,
these symptoms, but medication doesn't stop the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do a big research, a think tank, whatever. We have found the vaccination for COVID in 1 year or two. I don't remember how many months. Why can't we have a cure for schizophrenia? Because nobody wants to do this research. But if we say that not only patients are affected, but also the families, then the impact of the disease changes, because there is a lot of people affected. So please, the pharmaceutical companies, please, can you do this research to stop this disease? Governments, please, can you help families and patients? This is our message today for everybody. That's it. Thank you.
You see, that's why we said that schizophrenia is the Cinderella, because it's chronically underfunded, as we said before.
Yes. No, yes. Well, Patricia was fantastic.
No.
There are many people suffering because of this disease, the patient and all the people around the patient, all the family. Society has to take a step to improve the quality of life of this of all of us in so many areas. And well, the last idea, in my opinion, let the family members not to hide, let them ask for help, because patient can live better with if everyone collaborates with this.
They need special needs, no? Mm. They need special needs.
See.
I was going to say before also, when listening to Patricia, that in this 21st century, it's incredible that the human being has conquered the moon, but we did not conquer the brain. So still a lot of work to do.
So today, we've been talking about your experiences with a family member with schizophrenia. I'm wondering if we zoom out and we're not specifically focused on schizophrenia or even mental illness, but we're just thinking about, I don't know, the way we go about our daily lives and the way we interact with each other, and we're members of a community or a society. What do you think are the big lessons or things from your experience that you want people to take away from our conversation and remember about it, you know, days, weeks, months down the road?
In my opinion, let's stop prejudging. Let's start embracing the fact that there are different neurotypes in the world, as many as there are people.
And they all are valid, and they can all contribute great things to our society.
I would say that stop mental suffering is an urgent thing to do in the 21st century. It's impossible to be in the same way. I don't know how many years, but it's incredible. For me, it's incredible. Let's say another thing is what my sister has said, not to judge people and respect people with this disease and the families. And I think that the main point is one of us, each person can have this disease. We don't know. Maybe you are healthy, and when you are 60 years old, you discover that you have this disease. It's possible. No one is free from this. The other thing, the main important thing, is what I said at the beginning of the interview. A person is much more than his or her disease. This is the main point. My father was a wonderful, incredible man. He had the bad luck to have schizophrenia.
Patricia, Constanza, and Beatriz Moren speaking with me from Barcelona, Spain. They were sharing memories of their father and perspectives on having a family member with schizophrenia. That is it for the show today. You've been listening to People First Radio up and down Vancouver Island on CHLY in Nanaimo, on CFUV in Victoria, and on CBOX in the Comox Valley. You can also hear us on CFMH in St. John, New Brunswick. You can find interviews from the show on our podcast feed. You can just search People First Radio into Google or on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. I'm Joe Pugh. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you can join me again next week.
People First Radio is a community media project of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast partners.